the best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on the program, continuing our tour around the Big Ten West in spring football. Louis Vacare joining us, of course, the managing editor of the Wildcat Report. Love having Louis on. Louis, let's just start. James and I were just talking about most likely Big Ten West coaches to be there 5 years from now. And we both had Pat number one on the list. And I said you could have it 10 years on the list, and it feels like it would still apply for Pat Fitzgerald. It did seem to me that if ever there was a time for him to go and test the NFL waters, maybe it was this offseason. How real was that? Was the perception met with reality from your vantage point?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that if he was going to bolt at some point last year or this past year would have been the ideal time. You know, he had just coming off his second Big Ten West title in 3 years. You wondered where the ceiling was. He lost his athletic director. Phillips has moved on. Morty Shapiro, the president of the university, a big Fitz advocate, announced that he's going to retire here in the next year or two whenever they phase it out. So there were a lot of signs pointing that way, and it was NFL interest and stuff like that. I think if the Bears had come after him, that could have been a different story. There were some of those rumors out there, but they ended up keeping Matt Nagy around. And, you know, I don't think he ever really considered it. He was quiet. He didn't come out and quash any of the rumors or anything like that. But, you know, they signed him to an extension. I think he used those leverage a little bit and got a deal extended to 2030, got a little more money for his assistants. And I'm with you. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to retire at Northwestern in all probability. You can never say never. There's always, you know, possibility with the Bears and stuff like that. But I don't think it's going to be in several years until his kids are all grown up. You know, he's talked about he'd love to have an opportunity to coach him at Northwestern. So I don't think it's anytime soon. And my personal feeling, I think he'll retire at Northwestern.
Louis, what's the state of the program kind of overarching? I mean, Mike Hankwitz moves on after, 50 years of coaching, of defensive coaching in college football. You got some guys, some really talented guys going to the National Football League, and Newsom and Slater and Patty Fisher. And last year was obviously a really good season for the Wildcats. What are the expectations for this year, and are fans around there optimistic? Or is it kind of going to be the same that it's always been with Pat? They're going to be competitive, smart, they're going to be tough. Every now and again you'll get the year like last year, and sometimes you'll get, with a poor quarterback play, the 3-win season. But what are the expectations, and what's the future look like for the Wildcats?
I mean, I think the expectations have been raised. You know, I think they raised the bar, and, you know, they've won the West 2 of the last 3 years. And I think they'll contend again this year, and I think, you know, they should be a perennial bowl team. It used to be, you know, like you talked about, you used to think of Northwestern that every few years they get a special group together and maybe take a run at the Big Ten or something like that. Well, now it's happening a little more frequently, and I think, you know, the expectations have definitely been raised. You know, you mentioned Hankwitz. They got a new coordinator coming in, Jim O'Neill, so there's a lot of excitement around that. He's from the NFL defensive coordinator. Their defense has been outstanding the last few years, but they've really made some moves to make the offense, you know, to improve the offense. You know, that's where they've got to get better on that side of the ball if they do want to compete with Ohio State and maybe beat them 1 year, you know, in the title game. And, you know, they brought in Ryan Holinsky, the transfer quarterback from South Carolina. People are really pumped up about that. And they've got some wide receivers coming in to add some speed and dynamism to the offense. So, you know, they lost a lot on defense with Patty Fisher, you mentioned, Greg Newsom at cornerback, and a lot of multiple-year starters. And they got a new coordinator there. So they might not be quite as dominant defensively, but I think they'll still be pretty good. But I think the offense has a chance to improve quite a bit. So I think, you know, people are optimistic. They're coming off, they're really selling and recruiting right now. They're a top 10 university, according to U.S. News and World Report, and they're a top 10 program. You know, they finished 10th in the AP poll at the end of 2020. So, you know, excitement is pretty high. They've got the Fitz-Carlton over here on the lake, the practice facility, and things are pretty good in Evanston right now.
Yeah, I would say so, Louis. You know, for the longest time, it felt like, you know, could Pat turn Northwestern into what Stanford was under Harbaugh and in the beginning under Shaw, he's supplanted that. He's got a better program than that now. It's the preeminent academic football program, I think, in the country. They're the most consistent. How much of a direct line, and James raves about it, I haven't had a chance to be over there yet, how much of a direct line is there to the facilities upgrade that have happened and maybe a different level of player choosing Northwestern?
Yeah, we've seen it. I mean, there's no question that the bar has been raised. And, you know, Northwestern's still, there's still going to be a development program with recruiting. They recruit from a much smaller pool. But you're seeing a lot more four stars that are taking visits and things like that. And some of it, you know, they tell me that, you know, they want to see the facility that they've seen videos of and the pictures. They want to be there because, you know, in my opinion, the any pictures you've seen doesn't do it justice. When you're standing there, it is a spectacular venue. It's really awe-inspiring. So I think that has definitely raised the bar and getting to the title game two of the last 3 years. And, you know, they had the big setback in 2019, had a disaster of a season, went 3-9. But, you know, you can look at two of the last 3 years. They got fits in place for 10 years. They have the facilities now. I think the last bar really to Northwestern becoming a elite program or reaching their ceiling is, you know, the game day experience at Ryan Field. You know, they still don't sell out the stadium, and when they do, it's half red and half purple, you know. So they still, I think the game day experience, I hope they can get more fan support, sell more tickets, because, you know, to me, the program deserves it. Those guys deserve it, and they're pretty consistent winners, like you said, and it'd be good to see a little more fan support from the area here in Chicago.
Yeah, Louis, how do you change that? Because you said they've been to the Big Ten Championship two of the last 3 years. How do you change that for where the fans are coming there? Because I'll never forget a couple of years ago, I think when they had Notre Dame there, there's a whole lot of feeling that even season ticket holders are just ready to resell their tickets to opposing fans because it's such an easy venue to get to. How do you change the support there to where it's not, I guess, 50-50 with an opposing fan base?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And if I had that answer, I'd, you know, make a lot more money than I do right now. That's for sure. But I tell you what, you know, to me, the low point a few years ago, Nebraska came in here and it was at least 50-50. And, you know, Northwestern had to go to a silent count in their own stadium because the Nebraska fans were so loud at one end of the stadium. That's how bad it is, you know. So that to me was the low point. But, you know, they have built a winner. You know, there's the numbers aspect, right? Northwestern only has 8,000 undergrads, so they graduate 2,000 a year. And, you know, they get kids from all over the nation, so it's not like they're all staying around the Chicago area. So, you know, you do that over 25 years, and that's 25,000 people. That doesn't fill your stadium. I think a lot of it, too, is students, you know, as the academic bar goes up, you know, Northwestern's a top 10 university now. I just read their acceptance rate is 6.8%. You know, that's astounding. It's awfully hard to get in there today. And I think that a lot of those kids, you know, they're not as interested in football because even you see the student section isn't full. You know, those tickets are free and they don't even sell out there. So it's something – you know, Northwestern has been working on. They've tried different ticket policies. It's, you know, the Chicago's Big Ten team marketing slogan that has gone out. I think that's gotten a little bit of traction. They're against it, too, because Chicago is a pro sports town and I think always will be. And, you know, they still have this stigma of a losing program no matter, you know, it hasn't flipped over as of yet. But Fitz has talked about, I think one of the things we'll see in the next couple of years, I think they're going to renovate Ryan Field as well. I think that needs an upgrade, you know, in terms of amenities and things like that. But, you know, will that do it? I don't know. You know, we'll have to see. Like I say, hopefully it turns around because this program deserves better support than they're getting.
Louis, excellent stuff. Always appreciate your time and giving us a little bit of it today.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Louis Vicaire. Covers the Northwestern program for Wildcat Report, the managing editor there. I'll tell you what I would do. Ryan Field's capacity is 47. I would probably take about 10 grand out of there, and I would add luxury boxes, and I would make that thing and make it a place to see and be seen. Yeah. And I don't know if that's going to work. The whole idea of Chicago's Big Ten team, that's never going to – Chicago is a pro town. It's a Bears town. It's a Cubs town.
Yep.
It is not – it is never going to be – it's a Notre Dame town, frankly. It's not going to be a Northwestern town. But I would make that – I'd take about 10,000 people off that venue, and that, I think, might be a start. But it's, to me, this is the ceiling, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's hit the ceiling.
Yep. He has.
Yeah, it's a really incredible job.